He has no spiritual insight. He may do wonders with electronics, but as a child, as Bradley says, he is spiritually, he is just an infant. He's a baby. He has never grown up. And I notice this all the time. I'm sure you notice this in society, even here. We live in a society that is well-to-do, that is prosperous, that is so-called advanced. But human beings that you notice are simply spiritual babies. And you see this in everyday incidents. Just take a small incident. The other day I was near a bank. I was driving into the bank parking lot, very small parking lot in a sort of circular shape. Now, if you want to go past the parking lot, there is a drive-by on one side, there's a drive-by on the other side. If you want to park, then you go through the middle into the parking lot, which is quite a small area. I was just driving in to park when some guy shot out from somewhere at enormous speed, came head on to me and screeched to a halt with his bumper to mine, blocking my way so that I couldn't get into the parking lot. And he just sat there. Actually, he was not wanting to park. He just wanted to go through. Now, as I said, there are two lanes on either side there for him to go through. No, he chooses to go through the middle so that I can't get into the parking space. How one could get out and argue with him, and sometimes this even develops into a fight, you see, because nobody wants to back down. Don't want to mess around with this. I simply backed out to let him pass. In fact, he was so surprised that I backed out that he felt rather embarrassed. They don't expect that. They think there'll be a standoff and see who is tougher. You see, they own big cars, beautiful houses, and spiritually they're babies, behaving simply like babies. Completely infantile. There's no point arguing with such a mentality. Let them go. You don't want to get into quarrels with this. This is completely fruitless. Otherwise, you show that you're also a spiritual baby. Man is this case, and therefore the situation gets worse. You see, here's where you get a war, a stalemate situation. Bumper to bumper, who's going to move? And nobody wants to back down, so we have a fight. We have a war. So here in verses 6 to 7, this is the second sign, that wars will intensify. The third sign that we have here is in the second half of verse 7. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all this is but the beginning. That's not the end. That's only the beginning of the pains, the birth pains that will be coming when we enter into the new age. Now, there's nothing unusual again about famines and earthquakes. The world has had famines and earthquakes for quite a while. But again, the idea of it is rather the thing is intensifying. The earthquakes will become more frequent, they will become more destructive, they will become bigger, the famines will become more intense, more severe, when economies collapse, when harvests are destroyed by pollution or by bugs or by wars, whatever the causes may be. All these things will intensify. But strangely enough, yesterday as we sat in the house, suddenly the whole house shook like that. And it seemed to us that we had been hit by a mini earthquake in Pincourt, and I was waiting to hear if there's a report on this in the news. The whole house suddenly shook like this. In fact, Helen was so startled, she let out a little yell, you might say, by the sudden shaking of the house, because suddenly the whole building just went like that. And then it passed and everything was peaceful again. Even the dog on the other side started barking, and it was a sudden jolt like that. But these are only the beginning. These are the beginning. There will be more and bigger things coming along. Let's move on to the fourth sign, natural disasters. And some of the famines may not be so natural. And then the fourth sign in verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Worldwide persecution. All nations. Now you can see that we are not there yet. It's quite obvious that Christians are persecuted in about half the world, but not the other half of the world. So this particular sign, as you can see, is not taken place yet. We are moving there, yes, quite steadily, but not yet arrived. There will come a day, and this is why you must remember that he that endures to the end will be saved. There will come a day when it will not be so comfortable as today to be a Christian. You are not going to have the kind of freedom that you enjoy at this moment. Don't think that this will last forever. That's what the Lord is telling his disciples. It will pass away. There's going to come a time when for you and for me to be a Christian will not be just a matter of facing the opposition of your family that some of you face. You're going to face the opposition of the world. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Some of us who became Christians in China already had a quite sufficient taste of that. But more of it will be coming. I had 3 years of that, and I know what being persecuted feels like. But worse is yet to come. There will come a day when all of us are going to be faced with persecution, very bitter persecution. And that is where many will not survive. Many will not survive. That takes us to the fifth sign in verses 10 to 12. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. Now this is very important to grasp. The love of many will grow cold, and many will depart from the faith. Now this is something that we must grasp. Let us look at verse 10. And then many will fall away and betray one another. Is it not enough to fall away? Not enough. There will some who will be trying to, in the hope of saving their skin, will sacrifice somebody else's skin. They will betray someone else to secure their own safety. They will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise, you see. Again, amidst the confusion of the state of affairs in those days, the false prophets are going to feed on this again. Amidst the persecution, even then the false prophets are active. And wickedness multiplies, the love of most, notice this, the love of most men will grow cold. Most people will find that the pressure is too much. I hope that you and I, by God's grace, will survive. I have seen it happen in China already. When the communists came, as I've shared with some of you before, when the communists came and turned on the pressure, the love of many grew cold. They couldn't stand the pressure. Some even betrayed one another, as I said, in order to save their own skin. And some even to settle accounts. They didn't like somebody in the church. They hate one another. Now there's a good chance to settle your account. Report him to the authority. You can do this directly or anonymously. Either way is quite effective. I wonder if you and I would be prepared for this when that time comes. Don't sit here and say to yourself, it will never happen to me. It's precisely people who say that, it will never happen to me, who are the ones who don't survive. They're unprepared when it comes. It's the same as the person who says, there are people, other houses burn down, but my house will never burn down. And so when it comes, they're not ready. Other people's hotels catch fire, but the hotel I stay in never catches fire. And then lo and behold, how many people die in hotel fire. Preparedness, that is what is so essential. Know how to handle this. Ask yourself, how will I face it when it comes? And then the sixth sign, and we must proceed quickly as we close. The sixth sign is this, and this is an encouraging one. The gospel will be preached, we are told in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Now this is something remarkable. If the love of the majority grows cold, who is going to preach the gospel to the whole world? Clearly, that minority that survives. That purified minority that comes, that stands the persecution. It is these who will see to it that the gospel is preached. Let me say again, as I have said many times before, victory in the spiritual life is not accomplished through numbers. It is not how many people you have, but what kind of people you have that will make the difference. It is not how many people you have in the terms of thousands or how many missionaries you send out. It's what kind of missionaries you send out. You can send out 1,000 missionaries and they accomplish nothing. You can send out 10 men of God and they turn the whole place upside down. That is the principle in scriptures. And therefore to think, to reckon on the success of world missions in terms of numbers, as I hear it all the time in the Chinese churches and in the Western churches, is sheer nonsense. Here the Lord tells us this very thing. The love of the majority will grow cold, but the task of bringing the gospel to the nations will be carried out by the faithful minority. They will be the ones who will get it done. The question is, are you part of that faithful minority? Am I part of it? Are we the kind of people that God can use? Never forget, the Lord Jesus had 12 men, and with these, he turned the place upside down. Today we have thousands of missionaries, thousands, not 12, thousands, and they're getting nowhere, nowhere. In fact, when you read the statistical accounts, in most places, the mission work is falling behind. The birth rate, even, of most nations is outgrowing the number of conversions. Therefore, as the birth rate is increasing at a much faster pace than the conversions are doing, that means that the work is actually falling behind. You see, it is the quality of men that matters. I wish that you would grasp this. Not the quantity. Nothing has ever been achieved in quantity in the spiritual life. And so the same point is here, that this minority will bring the gospel. But notice another point about this verse. The end will not come until the gospel reaches to every nation. This is what it says. The end only will come after, and then will come the end, after the gospel has reached every nation. Now there is then one way we can hasten the coming of the Lord, as Peter speaks about it in 2 Peter 3:12. In 2 Peter 3:12, Peter says that we expect, eagerly await, and hasten the coming of the Lord. Well, how can we hasten it? Well, so long as the gospel does not reach out, the end will not come, as the Lord here says. Therefore, the way to hasten his coming is to reach out to all nations. That is what we intend to do. That is what I intend to do. And I trust we as a church intend to do. But before that, you must have the faithful men to do this task. That is why we have disciple training. That is why we have lay disciple training. That every single person in the church will not just have knowledge, he will have quality. He will be the kind of person that God can use. Wherever you go, you can build up groups of disciples who in their turn can build up groups of disciples. And anyone who understands geometric multiplication will soon see that that way of spreading the gospel is much faster than any evangelistic campaign could do it. In the beginning, it's much slower. But once it starts moving, it goes a lot faster than any multiplication in terms of evangelistic campaigns could do. I once shared with the training team the geometric results of such expansion. Within a few years, the expansion could outreach any kind of campaign that you like to launch, an evangelistic campaign. But it seems slower in the beginning. It moves a lot faster once it gets going afterwards. It takes a longer time to build the foundation, to make it secure, make it strong. So let us come to the last point. And the last point here, I have to jump to verse 32 in chapter 24. And I will not spend much time on it now. This is, you can say, an intermediate sign. It is general and it is specific, but it does not belong to that group of specific signs taking place before the in the last 7 years. Verse 32, from the sixth tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. What does this mean? Well, we know what it means. If a fig tree puts out branches, the summer is near. If the flowers begin to come up, you know, when you see the crocuses come up, you know that spring is at hand. That is easy to understand. But then what serves as a fig tree? What is the spiritual fig tree that shows us that the spiritual summer, the harvest, is near? That fig tree, of course, is the state of Israel. As we know from Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9, and many places in the Old Testament, the fig tree was a symbol of Israel. And the Lord is saying this, when you see the fig tree come to life after winter, then you know that the spiritual summer is near. When you see Israel, dead for 1900 years through a long winter, begin to come to life again, then you know that what I am talking about is very near. You and I live in that generation. In fact, we live in these last days. This is the miracle predicted by the Lord Jesus. Israel, you remember, was cut down, the barren fig tree. But from the stump there came forth a new growth. Israel, unlike any nation in the world, was extinct for nearly 1900 years. That's incredible. Not for 9 years, 900 years. 1,900 years, the nation was dead as a nation. And then you all know what happened. In 1948, the incredible thing happened. The fig tree began to put forth leaves again. Israel became a nation. In spite of the bitter hostility of the Arabs, in spite of the bitter hostility of almost everybody, even the British refused to help. In the pressure, when the Arab armies advanced, the British disappeared, leaving that ragtag little Israeli army to face the modern tanks of the Arabs. And somehow they survived. Nobody quite understands how, but somehow they survived. The onslaught from all directions, because God's purpose was that it would survive. That is the remarkable thing. In 1948, we can say that verse 32 was fulfilled. The nation of Israel came into existence. It resurrected. After the long winter of its history, it came back to life. And we are living in these days. When you see the fig tree, the Lord says, you know that what I'm talking about is near, very near. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.